This is Yusuf.
And this is In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes, and Women's History Month is in full swing.
Right. So we are doing movies that are either directed, written by the women, or really follows a main female character.
Yes, and this particular movie we're reviewing, we are checking two boxes, right?
Yeah, well, three.
Three.
Because it's written and directed by Kitty Green, and it stars Julia Garner. So it is about a female character, and it really is written and directed by a woman. So,
yeah. And this particular movie is called The Assistant. It was released in 2019, if I'm not mistaken.
That's what IMDb says, but I feel like I didn't hear about it till 2020.
Yeah, I think it was released like late, maybe like fall 2019, maybe like December, and no one really talked about it till 2020. About one of those late releases in 2019.
Yeah, so it's on Hulu, so you can find it now. You don't have to go buy it or anything. But The Assistant is a searing look at the day in the life of an assistant to a powerful executive. As Jane follows her daily routine, she grows increasingly aware of the insidious abuse that threatens every aspect of her position.
Yes. And yeah, and like Jenna was saying, movie stars Julia Garner, for people who's up on the Ozark joint, that's Ruth, the amazing Ruth. She's awesome. I think she got nominated for some Golden Globes for her performance. I think she probably won one for Ruth.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so this is her in a movie. So this takes place where in New York? Do you know? You know, I know it's in New York. I don't know exactly.
It was definitely Soho based on the street and the front of the building. It was cobblestone street. So it may have been over in the meatpacking district. But I feel like I've recognized that building and it I'm like 90% sure it is Soho. More on the west side than the east side.
Okay.
Just, you know. The movie actually starts out with a town car, car service, sitting in front of a house out in Astoria, which is Queens, and picking up an assistant who has to go to work at like 6 a.m. so she can get the office all set up for everyone else to come in. And it starts out sort of very slow, very quiet. Julia Garner is in absolutely every scene in the movie, which is a lot of work for her, but there's not a whole lot of dialogue in the movie. So there wasn't a whole lot of lines to learn.
Yeah.
It's more, I feel like the first 10, 20 minutes of the movie, it's just, it'd be like if you are shadowing an executive assistant, what they do for their day. It's good training. Like, if you want to be an executive assistant, watch the first 20 minutes of this movie. And you get a good sense of what it is. Yeah. And then things start to take a turn for everything. I feel like this movie came out it was filmed in 18 days and probably written very quickly because it's almost or like a Harvey Weinstein type of executive that this woman is probably an executive assistant for, and sort of cleaning up the mess that he's leaving in his life is her job. So the first time you see that in the movie is a call from the wife screaming about our credit cards. Then the second time you see that is she has to give an earring. I'm going to take a step back. The first time she sees that is when, or we see it from her perspective, is when she has to disinfect the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when she finds an earring on the ground.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny, and in film, well, yeah, in film school, like we learn different narratives, like how to tell a story. So this particular film falls into a restrictive narrative, meaning that when you watch the movie, every scene is seen through the main character. There's no cutaways. There's no cutaway to another character. There's no cutaway to the villain. There's no cutaway to like a secondary character. Like it's all following the main character. So everything you see and experience in is through the person we're following through the story. So this is called a restrictive narrative. And you don't see many of these particular film, well, this particular storytelling like done a lot. But it's definitely effective, especially with this particular story that they're trying to tell. As in, you know, like we overhear phone conversations, you know, we see the meetings kind of, but not really, like we see her routine of what she have to do and the question of particular people that comes in and out of the office. It's just like we really have no knowledge. We like dropped into this particular day with our main character, but we know she's knowledgeable of everything, or else, you know, she wouldn't be there. So we're kind of trusting her showing us things or like telling us things, but they don't branch away from the jargon of production or the office. It's kind of like you have to piece certain words together, certain sentences or certain statements together to really get what's being said throughout like this particular like office. But I found that really, you know, like bold, actually, you know. It's just like a lot of people like stuff being like handed to them, like, okay, here's exposition. You caught up, audience? Okay, let's move on with the story. Like, this was definitely not that.
Yeah. I mean, and Julia Garner, the main actress that we follow, because there isn't a whole lot of dialogue in the movie, most of the story is told through her facial expressions.
Yeah.
Which is very powerful. We hear bits and pieces when she's on the phone of other conversations. But honestly, unless you have the subtitles on, you may miss a lot of that. Because it was very sort of in the background, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see her reacting to the wife yelling at her about something. You see her reacting at her boss yelling at her about something, not necessarily everything he's yelling at her about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are just like, and there's key scenes that really just kind of like hit you. Just like when, after she gets chewed out, she have to write an email, right? And, you know, it's like, and there's two guys that shares the same kind of office space, so to speak, with her. And it seemed like the only time they pay attention to her or willing to help her out is when it's time for her to do her apology email. They kind of hover over her and kind of like tell her like what's the right things to, or how to word the apology, and you know, to this exec, so to speak, that we never see. Yeah, I found that really like standout scenes, you know, like, wow.
Yeah. So it's obvious, like there's three assistants and she's low man on the totem pole. So she's getting the brunt of the bullshit type of calls, which means that she's getting in trouble the most.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two guys that are also assistants have gone through this. So they know what to write on how to apologize and are schooling her because she's only been in the job for 5 weeks.
Right.
And so the movie continues to build, and we like follow her character struggling with how to deal with her boss, obviously being potentially a rapist, definitely like sexually abusing the people that are beneath him in power. And ultimately she goes to HR and they give her a choice. Do you want to report this or, you know, keep your job type of situation? Mm. And then at the end of the movie, another female character saying, don't worry, he's getting little out of it. And potentially one of the female characters that we meet in passing is getting a lot. So it's just, like, especially with the Harvey Weinstein stuff being in the news a lot a couple years ago, I feel like this movie was very, within the Hollywood set, probably very relevant.
Right. Yeah, because then, like, you really don't get the layout of the operations within, you know, where they were, because clearly this is a bigger production because they have an L.A. office. And they kept talking about, you're like, oh, you know, we got to fly you out to L.A. and all that stuff. So, like, so through the conversation and through her context that she, you know, speak to on a daily, it's like, okay, this is a bigger operation. You know, like, there's, you know, there's, like, you know, L.A. Office that they need to kind of communicate with and, you know, setting up flights for the, was it the casting director to go out there and yada, yada, yada. So then you're trying to, it's a subtle way to put the pieces together, so to speak. Like, okay, is this a situation where, you know, they fly prospects out to meet the, you know, to set up these situations of exploitation? And, you know, it's kind of like you can subtly, like, piece things together as far as like the operations of her being the hub of communicating, scheduling, you know, all that stuff to be like, oh, okay, I could kind of see how, you know, this Weinstein thing could go within this production company. Yeah.
Yeah. It also, like, I'm listening to another podcast. It's called Evil by Design. It's about a real man, Peter Nygaard, who ran a clothing company in Canada, who, like, they follow all of his, all of the victims that he's raped over the, like, the past 40 years, basically. And they're interviewing people in his company or trying to interview them. And one of them is an HR person. And so the HR scene in this movie, I was like, oh, like, HR is protecting this guy because he has all the power. And it's just so, so painful to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that scene definitely, like, it's stuck. That scene sticks with you. And that's the thing. I think this movie is very small, very quiet, very subdued, very subtle. But I don't know, it just spoke volumes. I was like,
why is it rated R?
That's a good question.
Because there's no profanity.
Well, you kind of overhear the boss kind of like cursing her out a little bit.
But no worse than you might see on any cable show. No, you don't see any sex or nudity. You don't see any drug use. I mean, you see her with needles, but that's for ED, limp dick.
Oh, that's what that was for?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he had diabetes or something. It was like a shot or something. I was like, ugh. That's even worse. I thought it was like, oh, he have diabetes, so that's like his shot, his like needles. Like, that's why he using like these needles. Oh, damn.
Sorry.
That's even worse. And then she have to like put it in the hazard bag. Oh. I feel even more sorry for them. It's just, and okay, and throughout the movie, well, it's probably two scenes where she talks to her mom over the phone and we hear a conversation. She missed her dad's birthday. I think the day before, you know, things been so busy for her. She forgot to call her dad and wish her happy birthday. So that's kind of lingering in her head on top of all of this stuff that's going on. And then on top of that, they flew, was she an actress or a potential assistant in from Iowa?
It was another administrative assistant that they were bringing in that they, he met her at some sort of movie thing. She was a waitress at an event. And he liked her and he said he would get her a job in New York and as an assistant. And so flies her into New York for the job.
But which hotel did they say? I think it was like it wasn't a cheap one. I forget.
I don't remember what hotel, but yeah, it was a fancy hotel.
Yeah. So then, you know, people are looking for the executive and the executive is late for a meeting, and it's kind of like the people that knows him is like, oh, okay, like I see why he's late, but the people who's meeting the exec, it's kind of like, where is he? Like, what the hell? Like, he's supposed to have been here. Like, what's going on? Yeah. So it's one of those things like you add in one and one together through the actions and the information through the assistant that you're piecing things together, you know, because like I said, it's a restrictive narrative. It's not cutting away to the executive going into the hotel room. It's not cutting to the wife getting on the phone and like, you know, going apeshit, like, what is he doing? It's just all through her. So through her, we're figuring stuff out, which is, I thought was a very unique, you know, way to tell a particular story, because, you know, he's sifting through the mundane routine of working this particular thing, right? You know, and it does a great job. And what I really like about this movie is throughout the movie, no music. There's no score, no music. At the beginning, there's music, and kind of like at the end, there's music. But throughout, once she gets in the office, there's nothing. You hear the copying machines, you hear the clicking of keyboards, you hear the rings of the phone. It's like you're there. Like you're like there's nothing joyous about this. Like you're gonna hear everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it gave me a little bit of I don't want to say nostalgia for being in the office, but it was definitely like the job I had before the one I currently have. I was always in the office at 6:37, and it was either me or one other person. We were always the first ones in the office, and we were the ones in there turning on the lights, with it super quiet and only hearing like just all the people come in, the elevator dinging as they walk in. And so I want to say PTSD, but it's not PTSD. It's just that like horrible, gross feeling of giving up your life to a job, and recognizing that you're just a commodity for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was not a nice feeling that I got from the movie.
Yeah. And I think on that instance, the director did an excellent job of conveying that. He like, just like the soulless, mundane, monotonous, you know, you hearing the same sounds every day, hearing the same conversations every day, you're hearing the same like arguments every day. It's like, yeah.
Which is funny because like a lot of people have been working from home for a year and are missing that. I've been working from home for going on 6 years now, and I don't miss going into an office at all. I don't miss those sounds. I don't miss that monotony. I don't understand, what are people missing? I know it's the interactions with other humans.
Yeah, but you okay. can, but you can do without that. Right? Yeah. Okay. So our rating goes as such. on the couch, sit down. This is a, you know, it's a movie to check out, you know, absorb for, it's not even, I think it's like an hour and a half.
It's a pretty short movie.
Yeah, it's a short movie. And putting your shoes on, you contemplate going outside, and going outside, that means I would rather go outside and endure
crazies,
non-COVID people, Capitol rioters before I even like sit down and watch this movie.
It's fun to put your shoes on for me. Okay. It's just, I don't miss working in an office. And it made me think about, like, there was the beginning of the movie where she's getting into that town car. It made me flash back to, there's a job where I was living in New York and occasionally I'd have to do last minute trips to Chicago. And so the town car would pick me up at 4 a.m. and I wouldn't get home till 11 o'clock at night because I was doing a day trip to Chicago. So it reminded me of that. And then when she gets the office and she's the only person in there and setting everything up, it reminded me of that. And it just brought back too many bad feelings of, in so many businesses, the people that actually get the shit done in the office are not, like, it's a business at the end of the day. They, like, companies don't give a fuck about you. They can fire you and replace you in the drop of a hat. So it wasn't nice. I didn't like it.
Well, I mean, in that sense of trying to tell, like, how this is such a linchpin to companies, but then again, they're the most expendable, you know, players. Right. Yeah. Well,
yeah, the movie is very realistic.
Yeah.
If you have 90 minutes to kill, you need to do some stretching or exercising and don't want to listen to music, want to watch a movie, put it on.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna give it a sit down. Just based off of like the things I was saying that I noticed with this movie that I did not know I was gonna get, which is like the whole restricted narrative thing. Like, it's been a while since I've seen a movie do that. And I was like, kudos. And yeah, when the movie went off, like, it just stuck with me. Even the next day I thought about this movie. I mean, because it was so stripped down, and, you know, and the sadness of this shit is still happening, you know. Oh no! It just we reviewed Promising Young Woman last week, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like with those two movies.
It's the juxtaposition.
It's a juxtaposition. Yes, yeah. It's definitely. This is more like, okay, this is the real what's like happening right now. In the business world, right? I know it's production, but you can, you know, dovetail that to any kind of business right now.
I've definitely had bosses that have come up behind me and like rubbed their bodies against me. I've had bosses where we were out for drinks and they talked about what underwear they liked and how they like doing cocaine off of women's bodies. I mean, yeah, all of that stuff happens in the business world, unfortunately. And hopefully movies like this and more women coming out and speaking out about it and HR being more open to hearing that this is not acceptable, that will stop that from happening. And so the next generation of women won't have to put up with it.
Exactly. Yeah. So then to me, you definitely get to sit down. I mean, it was such a small, quiet movie, but it just, it kind of yelled at me, so to speak. I mean, in a good way. I mean, aesthetically, you know, Julia Garner's subdued performance was just so powerful, and like she's just a cog in the wheel, but she contributes so much, you know what I mean? And she's not appreciating it.
This movie might be a trigger for a lot of women. but maybe educational for a lot of men.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, totally. So yeah, well, there you have it, guys. I mean, yeah, put on shoes for Genoa. Sit down for me, but we would definitely say if you have 90 minutes to kill, it's definitely an intriguing film, you know, to spend 90 minutes to watch. Yeah, yeah, because yeah, we have to know that we have to shine a light on the culture of what this movie is, you know, portraying, and you know, through the eyes of an assistant. And we need to change the culture pretty much. And the more of the story, the culture has to be changed. We have to change it. Yeah, cool, guys. So we will catch you. Wait a minute, hold on. Yeah, so we will see you Thursday.
Thursday, well, we have a movie that's turning 21 this year.
Yes.
And a special guest co-host with us.
Yes. Yes, you guys will enjoy it. We enjoyed it. You enjoy it. Until then, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
keep wearing a mask.
Yes. Peace.